Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates, text number 20. Paravareshu Bhuteshu Brahmanta Stavaradishu Bodhikeshu Vikareshu Bhuteshvata Mahatsucha Para Avareshu. In exalted or hellish conditions of life, Bhuteshu. In the living beings, Brahma Anta. Ending with Lord Brahma. Stavara. Adishu, beginning with the non-moving forms of life, the trees and plants, Bodhikeshu, of the material elements, Vikareshu, and the transformations, Bhuteshu, and the five gross elements of material nature. Ata, moreover, Mahatsu, and the Mahatattva, total material energy. Cha, also. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life, from the inert living beings, stavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy and the modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamogun, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Although he is one, he is present everywhere. And he is also the transcendental supersoul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the cause of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and is the all-pervading supersoul. But actually, he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the supreme Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, being covered by the curtain of his external energy. To the atheist, he appears non-existent. Purport. Not only is the Supreme Personality of Godhead present as the supersoul of all living entities, at the same time, he pervades everything in the entire creation. He exists in all circumstances and at all times. He exists in the heart of Lord Brahma and also in the cores of the hearts of the hogs, dogs, trees, plants, and so on. He is present everywhere. He is present not only in the heart of the living entity, but also in the material things, even in the atoms, protons, and electrons being explored by material scientists. The Lord is present in three features, as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Because He is present everywhere, He is described as Sarva Kalvidam Brahma. Vishnu exists beyond Brahman. Bhagavad Gita confirms that Krishna, by His Brahman feature, is all-pervading. Mayatatamidam Sarvam. For Brahman depends upon Krishna. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Without Krishna, there could be no existence of Brahman or Paramatma. Therefore, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Although He is present as the Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart, He is nonetheless one, either as an individual or as the all-pervading Brahman. Supreme Cause is Krishna, and the devotees who have surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can realize Him in His presence within the universe and within the atom, Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. This realization is possible only for the devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. For others, it is not possible. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya daratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. The process of surrendering in a devotional attitude is accepted by a fortunate living being. After wandering through many varieties of life on many planetary systems, when one comes to the real understanding of the Absolute Truth by the grace of a devotee, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhavanam janmanamante jnanavan mam pravadyate. Prahlad Maharaj's class friends, who were born of daitya families, thought that realizing the Absolute was extremely difficult. Indeed, we have experienced that many, many people say this very thing. Actually, however, this is not so. The Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is most intimately related to all living entities. Therefore, if one understands the Vaishnava philosophy, which explains how he is present everywhere and how he acts everywhere, to worship the Supreme Lord, or to realize him, is not at all difficult. Realization of the Lord, however, is possible only by in the association of devotees. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to Rupa Goswami said, Brahmande Brahmate Gon Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Latavij. The living entity in the material condition wanders through many varieties of life and many varieties of circumstances. But if he comes in contact with a pure devotee and is intelligent enough to take instructions from the pure devotee regarding the process of devotional service, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of Brahman and Paramatma, without difficulty. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Antaryami Priyag Atma Vyap Yat Kalo Hari Hari Smritaha Prakritya Tamasa Ritatpat Harir Aishvaryam Na Gyayate. The Lord is present as Antaryami in everyone's heart, is visible in the individual soul covered by a body. Indeed, he is everywhere at every time in every condition. But because he is covered by the curtain of material energy, to an ordinary person there appears to be no God. The 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes over his opulences. How he's the... Of the bodies of water, he's the ocean. Of the mountains, he's the Himalayas. Of the fishes, he is the shark. Of the subduing elements, he is time. Of the Pandavas, he is Arjuna. Of the Rishnis, he is Vasudev, etc. But his conclusion is that Taiva Bhavanaitena Kim Yatena to Arjuna Vishtavya Hamidam Kritsnam Ekam Stana Sitojagat. But what need is there for all this information, Arjuna? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire creation. Our experience is limited, but we have experience. And our experience is that this little place that we're in, called the universe, seems to be quite large compared to us. It's extremely big. And at least it's within our realm of experience. If you look up in the sky at night, and there's not so many clouds, and there's not so much light, you can see there are many, many planets. Of course, the scientists, they speculate that there's Milky Ways and all kinds, but anyhow, there's a lot going up there that we don't see. And according to the Vedic literature, there are different planets which we can see, like Venus and Mars and Saturn, etc. As far as their conception of Milky Ways with unlimited suns and things like that, that the Vedic literature doesn't accept. But the universe is big enough for us. There's plenty of room here. You don't have to worry about getting crowded out here. And Krishna says this whole thing is going on with just a little fragment of his energy. Now, Brahma, one time he came to Dwarka to say hello to Krishna, to give him some information, give him his report. And he knocked at the door in Dwarka, to be polite. And the doorkeeper came and said, "Yes, what can I do for you?" He said, "Well, tell him Brahma is here." "Okay, no problem." So he went and told Lord Krishna that Brahma is there. So Lord Krishna said, "Which Brahma?" So the doorkeeper said, I'm the four-headed Brahma, you know, the father of Kumara, the four Kumaras, you know. I mean, you probably recognize me when you see me. You know, four helmets, you know, eight eyes, you know. So he came back and told Krishna, "Yes, it's four-headed Brahma." So Krishna said, "Okay, let him in." So Lord Brahma came in and he gave Krishna his report. Krishna said, "Don't worry about the demons, I'll take care of them." And then Brahma said, "I have a little question, Krishna, Lord Krishna, before I go. Can you please answer?" He said, "I'll try, you know." Brahma's are pretty smart. See if I can answer your question. So he said, "You asked which Brahma, so does that mean that there are more than one Brahma in this universe?" So Krishna called for all Brahmas from all the different universes. And although our Brahma could see them all, these Brahmas didn't see that there were other Brahmas there also. But one Brahma had eight heads, another Brahma had 15, another had 100, one had 1,000, one had 1,000,000, one had 10,000,000 heads. Now that's something to think about. Imagine if you get a headache, what a problem it's going to be. Spend the whole day taking pills. 10,000,000 headaches. In any case, Brahma, he felt himself to be just like a little insect, a rabbit, compared to all these other Brahmas. And not only the Brahmas came, but the Shiva came, and all the different Indras came, etc. So Brahma was bewildered, overcome by amazement, by wonder. And then he made the statement that others may say they know you, but as far as I'm concerned, I have no idea who you are. And that's Brahma, who created this universe. So what to speak of our tiny little selves? This is meant to invoke a little bit of reverence. Otherwise, we come before the deity and say, "Hi, how's it going? You know, I'm here, I'm you happy, you know. I made your day." Otherwise, what would you do if I wasn't here? I mean, it must be pretty boring standing around there all day long. So we have no idea even who Krishna is, what to speak of the fact that he comes as a deity, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that he can appear in each one of these pictures. We may think these are just pictures, the Prabhupada said they're windows to the spiritual world, that Krishna is fully conscious in each one of these pictures. He's fully conscious as a deity, just as he's fully conscious in everyone's heart. It's not that Krishna is thinking, "I know this person's name. It's on the tip of my tongue. Maybe I'll stick around, maybe he'll say, hey, Krishnadas. Oh, that's right, his name is Krishnadas." I'm glad someone mentioned it. No, we can't conceive of how powerful Krishna is, that in everyone's heart he knows everything the soul has done, past, present, and future. And all the different births we've taken. And it doesn't take him a long time. Let me think. I memorized it yesterday, but that 100th birth, what was it? Oh, come on. I should write things down. Helps memory. No, he spontaneously knows everything without any effort. So, ekopyuso rachitum jagaranda kotim. It's chakti asti jagaranda charandarantas. Andantarasta paramanu chiantarastam govindam adi purusham tamahang bhujami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who by one of his plenary portions enters the existence of every universe and every atomic particle, thus ultimately manifests his infinite energy all over the material creation. So that should put us into a little awe. If we can believe that Krishna exists, well, he's doing quite well for himself. No problem. He definitely doesn't have any financial problems since he's controlling everything. Now, if Krishna is not controlling everything, if he's not in every atom, then how is it possible that karma could work? It wouldn't be possible for karma to work. A lot of things wouldn't work. Everything would be quite disjointed and disorganized. It's like putting your money in one bank account and putting your money in the bank, but no one has a bank account. You just put it in, you hope it comes back to you. So if Krishna wasn't controlling everything, we'd all just be doing things and hoping that we get the right reaction for it. We'd be hoping that everything would be arranged in the universe appropriately, according to my deserve what I deserve and what I desire. But everything is going on with such exactitude because Krishna is in control of every atom. And he's also in our heart, and he knows what we've done in the past, present, future. Therefore, the beginning of the Bhagavatam, first two cantos, is all about how Krishna works in the material creation. And this is necessary for us. It's more important for us to know Krishna's pastimes in the material energy than to know his pastimes in the internal energy. Because unless we can understand how Krishna is working in this material nature, how can we possibly conceive of who Krishna really is and how we can understand what Krishna is doing in an energy we have no experience about? Therefore, we can see the sun, how it's rising at a certain time and setting at a certain time, that we can understand how we're being supplied with remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, how we're eating things, and beyond our understanding, these things are being digested, whatever we're eating, being assimilated, and hopefully the unnecessary parts are being eliminated. This is all going on inconceivably without any effort on our part. And even if we made an effort, it wouldn't make any difference because we have no power to influence it. We have some power to decide to eat something or not, but after we eat it, we have no power to determine what's going to happen to it. It's not that we eat the strawberry and they say, you become an eye. Then we eat a pear. You become the foot. We have no idea what's going to happen. We just pray, oh, I need an eye. Can you? The shrubby says, I'll try the best I can, but I'm really not in control around here either. I get it. There's a higher boss than me that decides all this, but I'll put in a good word for you. So we have to understand, at least theoretically, to some degree, to the best of our capacity. And then a little awe and reverence will mean that we'll have more of an opportunity, more of a possibility of trying to take shelter of Krishna, to inquire from him what he wants us to do. Because after all, if he knows everything and we find out what he wants us to do, obviously what we'll do will be very beneficial for ourselves and for everyone else. We'll be in harmony with everything. And if we don't do that, we're out of harmony, then we're out of harmony with the whole universe, and all the universes. We're out of harmony with Krishna, we're in harmony with everything. And therefore we can't expect anything auspicious to take place. Although people may try, outside of Krishna consciousness, to create some auspiciousness, but that's actually not possible. The only possibility is to take shelter of Krishna, and he's in our heart as a super soul. And he's anxious to tell us what to do. He wants us to do the right thing. And he wants us to inquire above everything else what the right thing is, and then he'll assist us, if we're really sincere, to find out what the right things to do are. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? One of the things I learned about giving class is you don't have to tell people, don't say a whole lot of things. Just say one thing and repeat it over and over again. And then probably walking out of the class, remember, yes, all right, it was the Bhagavatam you read. I'm sure it was. No, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Kept on saying Bhagavatam all the time. Any questions? Keep on asking questions, too. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.